do we still need apostles? The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I am Pastor Schultze. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine anointing on the declaration of thy sacred word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text in our study of the Gospel of Mark is in the third chapter. I want to read to you from the 13th verse onward. And he goeth, that is Jesus, goes up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out devils. And then Mark lists the 12 apostles whom Jesus chose to be with him. Now as I preach to you today, I want you to particularly remember that when I preach, I don't represent any denomination. I don't represent any religious organization. I simply ask the Holy Spirit to help me to teach you the Word of God as He sees it, as He wants it to be taught. So my only obligation is to the Lord Jesus. He is the only one I have to answer to, and not to any religious institution of any kind. Now, this is particularly important for you to remember, since I'm preaching on apostles today, because apostles also do not belong and never did belong to any religious institution or any denomination. That was so from the beginning, and so it is now. As our text tells us here, that Jesus called unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12. The ordination of apostles is done directly by Jesus, and it is not done and should not be done by any religious denomination, institution, or organization. Apostles, like prophets, are directly under the authority of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and he's the only one they need to answer to. Anyone who claims to be an apostle and who has been ordained by and has to respond to the organization that ordained him is likely to be a false apostle. All God's apostles belong to Jesus and answer to him only. Now then, as I was studying this subject matter, I ran across a book, and I was amazed what this book is telling me about apostles. This book is entitled Early Christianity by Dr. Arnold, and it just happened to fall into my hands. And this is what it says, quote, "The God-given mandate of Christian apostles hovers high above everything else. This comes more into focus in the fact that the word, quote, apostle, unquote, originally applied to non-Christian Judaism." Let me add to this that before Jesus even came to the world, the Jews had men they called apostles. They were rabbis who were ordained for a specific ministry toward the Jewish community. Now, back to my quote here, quote, "The task of Jewish apostles, though was limited to carrying letters from the Jerusalem headquarters to the scattered Jews everywhere, collecting contributions for the headquarters everywhere, exercising supervisory and disciplinary powers, and keeping up the bond of all Jews with Jerusalem," end of quote. So let me insert here, before I go on, when Jesus called 12 men to be his apostles, that these men did not say to Jesus, Now, what's an apostle all about? We've never heard of such a thing. But these men had a background on the subject matter, and they knew pretty well that the apostolic calling was a very high calling indeed. Now, going back to Mr. Arnold again, to this book, he says, quote, "God himself stands behind the apostolic ambassadorship. It is not to be compared with a Jewish apostleship. It is far greater. The apostolic task is to reveal God's truth directly through the Spirit, so it became the foundation of the whole vision of the founding of the church." End of quote. So let me say this, it was the apostles who disciplined and supervised the church, it was they who received the revelation of God as to what the church needed to hear. Therefore, their task was to unify the body of Christ and to give them freedom in the Holy Spirit. The apostolic power was revealed through miracles and various miraculous deeds like unto Christ's. The lame walked, the blind saw, the deaf heard, the sick became well, and evil spirits were driven out. All this proved that Jesus was personally with the apostles, and the apostles were guardians of the truth in its initial proclamations. They provided leadership within the church. So, my friends, this gets us back to Mark chapter 3, 13. I want to read this verse to you again. And he, that is Jesus, goes up into a mountain, and he calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him. Please observe here that Jesus set up a government for the church, as it is to be till the end of time, right here in this Markan passage. And this government that Jesus designed for all the ages is called apostolic government. Jesus had no other plans or government for the church than apostolic government. And this is true for the 1st, the 5th, the 10th, the 20th, 21st century. Jesus never intended there be any other government than the one he set up, and that is apostolic government. And that's the way it is with the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were given for all of time. There never would be, there never will be, an amendment or change in the Ten Commandments. It will always be wrong to kill, to murder. It will always be wrong to commit adultery. It will always be wrong not to honor father and mother, etc. So as it is with the Ten Commandments, it is also with the government of the church. Jesus laid it down there. And that is the way he wanted it to be from the beginning to the end of the church age. He wants his church to be governed by apostles. He never wanted the church to be governed by denominations or the headquarters, of which there are many. He never wanted the church to be governed by religious organizations, of which there are many, by any institution, of which there are many, but always by apostles whom Jesus would personally call and ordain and empower to have the government of the church. So if God had his way today, my friend, then every church in the world, whether it be in Africa or Asia, Europe, Australia, or the Americas, would be under the jurisdiction of apostles. Jesus instituted apostolic government, and he never initiated any other government for the church. Now this all began on the mountaintop in Galilee, and to prove to you that this government didn't just get pulled out of a hat by Jesus in a moment of time, I'll take you to the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And there it says, in verse 12 and 13, it came to pass in those days that he, that Jesus, went up into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he named apostles. So I want to tell you, my friends, that Jesus prayed all night about this government for the church. As in the Old Testament, God worked through prophets. Prophets were God's right-hand men through the Old Testament history. So in the New Testament, God's right-hand men are apostles ordained by him. This is a divine plan, and this divine plan was followed from the very first day of the church. So I want to take you to the birthday of the church, the first day of the church, and that takes us to the book of Acts, the 2nd chapter. And here it says, and this is after Peter preached his first sermon on the day of Pentecost. It says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, the first converts of the church, these new converts, were immediately placed under the apostolic ministry. Once they were born of God, that's what happened. We find this confirmed in the same chapter, in the 41st verse. It says, then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So whenever somebody gets saved, the first thing that we need to do is to get them under the apostolic ministry. And that means that you need to get these new converts under the ministry of the Apostle Paul and Peter and James and John and Jude, the early apostles. And then, my friends, if there are other apostles, if they are contemporary, if they are contemporary apostles, you also want to bring them under their authority as well. Now, since Jesus is the only one, now I'm talking to you from the scriptures, since Jesus is the only one who ordains apostles, then all the apostles are one in spirit and one in mind. Then all the apostles will reflect the mind, the thinking of Jesus, and will be leading to the edifying of the church, will be helping the edifying of the church and uniting the church. If there's any apostle who is not leading to the unification of the church, or if he's not ordained by Jesus himself, then he is a false prophet. You should have nothing to do with him. Now, then let us continue to go to the second chapter of Ephesians, and here the apostle lays down the very doctrine I'm teaching to you, because he says that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now then, there are three elements here that make up the foundation of the church. Now the first one, historically speaking, are the prophets. God spake through the prophets in times past, before Jesus came. And this is confirmed in the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, where it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. What it says here, this is Paul speaking, who lived in the first century. He says, in the past God revealed his will to our forefathers through prophets. God has spoken through the prophets to our fathers. So that's the first part, the foundation on which the church is built, the Old Testament teachings. Then Jesus came and revealed himself as the cornerstone of the church. He came into the world and he spake himself. He spake himself, he revealed himself to us, and he was preaching and teaching in Israel. So God spake through the prophets, God spake through Jesus Christ, and now, since Pentecost, God has also and is speaking to us through the apostles. So Jesus is in the middle, and he connects the old with the new and putting it all together. And so we have the whole of the Bible written by prophets, by the apostles, and by Jesus Christ, above it all and in it all, being the chief cornerstone. In whom all the building, Paul says, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So when we shall have that great latter rain, the great worldwide revival Peter speaks about in his first sermon, where God's Spirit shall be poured out upon all flesh, I expect a resurgence of the apostolic ministry. You have the apostles open the church age, and I believe they will be there to close the church age when we all shall pray, even so come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you will help us to get this truth into our hearts. We pray, Jesus, O Lord, that you will let us see the day when we'll see the church become one and one holy habitation of God, when the church will be delivered from all of the institutions and works of men. And we pray it and ask it for your honor and glory. In your name, amen. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Tune in again as we continue this series on the Gospel of Mark. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now until next week.